This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 233, the show where we talk about movies that may or may not have pervasive language. For the weekend of May 29th through May 31st. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to a Backseat Box Office where we talk movies and stuff. Art, how you doing?
I'm doing good, and I like talking about stuff.
But not about movies.
Well, movies is stuff. That still counts.
Well, I said movies and stuff.
Right.
And so that means they're separate.
Right, but I was just commenting on the stuff because that was different than normal.
Yes, this is also the show where I troll Art on a podcast. No, I'm just kidding.
You troll me on more than just this podcast, sir.
All right. Well, thanks for... sounds like we're starting to share time a little early. Okay. all right. So, since we talk about movies, let's talk about last week's box office results. So, for the weekend of May 29th through May 31st, here is your top five. At number one... new release San Andreas comes in at $54.6 million. At number two, we have Pitch Perfect 2, which came in at $14.8 million. Tomorrowland came in at number three, $14.3 million. We have number four, Mad Max : Fury Road, $14.1 million. And at number five, we have Avengers : Age of Ultron. $11.4 million. Box office, why do you or Box Office Mojo, why do you refuse to put Avengers 2 on there? yeah, San Andreas.
San Andreas, yeah.
Killing it.
I know. Almost $55 million week one.
And if you look through movies 2 through 5, the percent drop, 51%, 56%, 42%, and 47%.
Yeah, wow. Mad Max fell the least. They take some consolation in that. But it's just, how is it that more people in America wanted to see San Andreas opening week than Mad Max? That is such a disappointment to me.
True. True. Okay. So that was last week's box office results. So let's look forward to this weekend. Art, why don't you tell us about some movies that are opening this weekend?
All right, we are going to kick it off with Spy. It is currently rated 94% fresh on the tomato meter, 48 reviews fresh, 3 rotten. 96% want to see it out of 29,500 people. Susan Cooper, Melissa McCarthy, is an unassuming desk-bound CIA analyst and the unsung hero behind the agency's most dangerous missions. But when her partner, Jude Law, falls off the grid and another top agent, Jason Statham, is compromised, she volunteers to go deep undercover to infiltrate the world of a deadly arms dealer and prevent a global disaster. Rated R for language throughout, violence, and some sexual content, including brief graphic nudity. It's a comedy directed by Paul Feig. Written by Paul Feig. 1 hour and 57 minutes. We have already heard about the big names, but we also have Bobby Cannavale, Allison Janney, 50 Cent, Morena Baccarin, and that's it for me. Who else do you recognize?
I recognize Peter Serafinowicz. I blew it, but I'm not going to try to fix it. He was in Guardians of the Galaxy. He was also in Couples Retreat.
Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Stanley with a C. I think that's who he was. You know what's funny is that the movie description usually loves to drop names of past box office successes. But for Mr. Feig, they don't say anything about Bridesmaids.
Wow, yeah, really?
This was written and directed by him, and 94% for a comedy is not something to sneeze at. So we could have a surprise hit here, because there was no fanfare. I didn't even know this was coming out.
Yeah, our comedy, Melissa McCarthy, I don't know. She's been running so cold for me lately. But I've had no interest in where her career is going.
I mean, maybe the director and writer, who happen to be the same person, maybe they know what they're doing, and maybe this is a collaboration that probably works. Did you say Rose Byrne? I think she plays the villain in this.
Okay.
She's been definitely doing more comedies lately, and I kind of like it.
And who is, I don't know who she is. I have not.
She was the wife to Seth Rogen in Neighbors. She was
Didn't see it.
also in Bridesmaid. She was kind of the jerky best friend in Bridesmaids.
Oh, okay.
You'd recognize if you saw her. She was also Myra McTaggart or Mar
Moria,
yeah,
okay.
in X-Men First Class.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm just
Yes,
brutal
okay.
tonight. All right.
I got it.
Yeah.
All right, well, why don't we move on? I mean, are you just. Yes, this has a possibility of being a sleeper hit. It could be the next Hangover, maybe. It's getting a lot of good reviews on the tomato meter. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some, see if any of these, Rob Hunter from Film School Rejects. I could watch Melissa McCarthy and Rose Byrne insult each other for days. God, a lot of these are the more obscure. Oh, here's Chris Nashawaty from Entertainment Weekly, something a magazine I subscribe to. Put the woman in any damn thing she pleases. She's that good. I don't know about that. Previous movies kind of contradict that theory,
Yeah.
but all right. So let's move on to the next movie. Here we have Entourage. 32% on the tomato meter. Out of 83 reviews, 26 fresh, 57 rotten. But the audience score is 84% liked it. And I remember seeing something on Twitter that this might have the biggest division between critics and audience. There might be like a record or something like that, because it's a 52% difference.
Yeah, it's huge.
Okay, so here's the description. Entourage, the much-anticipated big-screen version of the award-winning hit HBO series, reunites the show's original cast led by Kevin Connolly, Adrian Grenier, or Grenier, I don't know, Kevin Dillon, Jerry Ferrara, and Jeremy Piven. Movie star Vincent Chase, together with his boys Eric, Turtle, and Johnny, are back, and back in business with super agent turned studio head Ari Gold. Some of their ambitions have changed, but the bond between them remains strong as they navigate the capricious and often cutthroat world of Hollywood. Rated R for, wait for it, Art, pervasive language, strong sexual content, nudity, and some drug use. Oh, by the way, this is a comedy. It is written by Rob Weiss and Doug Allen, also directed by Doug Allen, and it will cost you 1 hour and 45 minutes. So, what are some other people that we know, excuse me, in this movie? Well, we have Jeremy Piven, Kevin Dillon, Scott Kahn, Jerry Ferrara, Kevin Connolly, Billy Bob Thornton, Haley Joel Osment, Ronda Rousey, MMA fighter Ronda Rousey, Piers Morgan. Oh my God, there is a lot of people. Bob Saget, Gary Busey, a lot of people playing themselves. Jon
Yes.
Favreau, Liam Neeson, Kelsey Grammer, the list goes on and on. Martin Landau,
Wow.
George Takei, and let's stop right there.
Yeah. You did skip Andrew Dice Clay.
Did I?
I think you did. And I only bring him
Oh,
up
yes.
because I just recently delivered a piece of mail to somebody who has one of these Vegas Riverboat Rewards member club things. And one of the boats over in Indiana has a venue called The Venue. And Andrew Dice Clay will be appearing there this month. And if you are a member of this rewards club, all you have to do is call that number and they will send you two free tickets to see Andrew Dice Clay. And it just made me think, my have the, how have the mighty have fallen that you if you're just a rewards member and you call that number, that they're just giving the tickets away. Please come see him, somebody, anybody, for free. Come on.
Well, to be fair, My father-in-law can get free tickets to Penn and Teller whenever he wants.
Oh, well, that's nice. Okay.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I think there's a lot of comedians that end up doing casino shows nowadays.
Okay, but the casinos in Vegas they're making a lot more money to be paying the talent to be giving their reward members perks. I don't know that the casino in Indiana is really that big of a draw.
True. True.
Free tickets in Indiana and free tickets in Vegas, I think those are a little bit far apart.
Yeah.
Kind of like the review numbers on this movie.
Very good, Art. Very good. All right. A couple of choice reviews about a really bad movie, apparently, as far as the critics believe. Stephen Ray from the Philadelphia Inquirer, Let Sleeping Bros Lie. And I think anybody can be, you know, if we just wrote some of what we talk about down, I'm sure that we could show up on here.
yeah.
I mean, because I think you just have to have a website with some decent download numbers to become a critic. Because there was a point way back when in Backseat Producers when Darren was doing movie reviews that, you know, I was just on a lark seeing if he could have got onto Rotten Tomatoes. Because he was doing, reviews every week.
Right.
Okay, so we have Jason Gorber from Dorkshelf. And I don't know why someone from Dorkshelf ends up on the front page. But Entourage simply cannot sustain its storyline or its characters within a cinematic framework. At best, you could think of this as an epilogue to the show, a very special episode, where we get to spend some time with characters you've grown to know. Yeah, you know, it's just another show on HBO that, I don't know, I tried to watch a couple of times. And, it was funny, the few episodes that I watched, just because I was watching it for the Sklar Brothers. I don't know if you are aware of who the Sklar Brothers are.
But nope.
They're kind of like a comedy team almost. They're actually from St. Louis.
Okay.
They've been on some other shows, but I enjoy them. So yeah, good story, Jeff. Okay, Art, are you even gonna watch this if it comes out on video?
No, I have watched like all of part of one episode of Entourage, and I don't even remember where I was that I saw it because I normally don't. You know, it might have been a free weekend or something. So yeah, no interest.
All right, so let's move to the third movie, Art.
Okay, the third movie on our list is Insidious Chapter 3. It is not rated on the tomato meter, so no critic reviews yet. 92% want to see it out of 16,681. That is our lowest number for the week. The new chapter in the terrifying horror series is written and directed by franchise co-creator Leigh Whannell. This chilling prequel, set before the haunting of the Lambert family, reveals how gifted psychic Elise Rayner, Lynn Shay, reluctantly agrees to use her ability to contact the dead in order to help a teenage girl, Stephanie Scott, who has been targeted by a dangerous supernatural entity. Rated PG-13 for violence, frightening images, some language, and thematic elements. It is a horror movie, written and directed by Leigh Whannell. 1 hour and 37 minutes. We have Dermot Mulroney, Stephanie Scott, Angus Simpson, Leigh Whannell, Lynn Shay, and Anne Bergstedt Jordan. Interesting. So he writes, directs, and stars in this movie.
Yeah. Well, haven't seen the first two, so why bother with the third one?
Yeah. I don't know. Horror movie, though, people, I think, will go out and see it, just not in droves.
Yeah, so, but Insidious Chapter 2 had an opening of $40 million.
Yeah, well, that's impressive.
And the first Insidious opened for $13 million, which would put it at number 5, even though it only came out in 2,400 theaters. But that was April 1st, 2011. So, well, we'll have to see how it does.
Yeah.
Alrighty, so that ends where we talk about the new movies that are coming out this weekend. And, you know, I kind of miss talking about indie movies, but at this point I really don't have any indie movies to talk about, so maybe we'll do that in the near future. So now we can get to share time, where each of us talk about the TV, movies, or other things we've been watching or listening to. So, Art, what'd you do last week?
Okay, so last week was pretty slow. I finally did get around to watching the Supergirl trailer. I think it looks interesting. I like how it's, I don't know. I like how it's being presented. It is definitely a, you know, it has that, I don't know what to call it. It's kind of a CW feel, you know, where it's like they're talking about her, you know, how she feels as a girl, empowered, you know, choosing what to wear. And I don't have a problem with any of that. You know, I think it's an interesting take on the character. It looks, you know, like the visuals are going to be there and the story is going to be there. I am interested. We got a black Jimmy Olsen, so I thought that was interesting. I think we talked about this before, but now I actually saw it on the screen and looks good. But he wants to go by James. He doesn't want to be Jimmy. We'll see how that works out for him. I watched what was it called? The new, basically, Justice League B team, Legends of Tomorrow.
Okay.
Green Arrow, Flash, Captain Cold, the Atom. Oh, the Atom. I loved maybe some Atom back in the early 80s. Firestorm, James Garber playing the Professor. It looks interesting. And, you know, they've been doing really well with Green Arrow and Flash. So them moving into a team, I think that's a good idea. I can't wait to see what they do with it. It's got Rosario Dawson playing Hawk Girl. So, I mean, come on. I'm down for that.
So when is this going to be on?
I don't remember.
Or where?
I believe it's CW.
Oh, okay.
Like I said, it's tying in Flash and Green Arrow. Or Arrow, I should say.
Okay.
And then I watched, in my continuing saga to watch all of the Miyazaki films, I watched Howl's Moving Castle. Actually sat down and watched this with Aubrey, and I really enjoyed this film a lot. It just another, you know, visually well done, good story, good characters. Actually had Billy Crystal as one of the voice actors for the English dub. So yeah, I enjoyed it, and I will continue to watch more and more of the Miyazaki films until I have watched them all. And that is about it.
Okay. So what did I watch last week? I didn't really watch that much television or movies. I need to talk about the Star Wars radio drama, because I finished listening to the entire thing. And it got weird towards the end. Weird because as they moved from Empire Strikes Back to Return of the Jedi, they had some casting changes. No longer did Billy Dee Williams play Lando. Now, if you're a child of the 80s like I was, you'd recognize this name. They got Ari Gross to play Lando.
Don't.
Okay. I had the same conversation on the way home with a friend of mine. Now, go way back. Do you remember a movie called Soul Man?
Yeah.
Do you remember the best friend of C. Thomas Howell?
No.
Okay. There's probably a reason for that. That is Ari Gross. And it was definitely a different take on the character, but I was definitely missing Billy Dee.
Well, yeah.
In that role. Another casting choice was Ed Asner as Jabba.
Interesting.
Now, just as Lithgow with Yoda, he ended up with, you know, into the lower, his voice was lower, so was Jabba's voice was like almost guttural lower, which I didn't think they could do. But I don't like the difference. I've gotten the intonations of Jabba from the movies is too ingrained in my head.
Yeah.
So it became a little distracting. Now, they also had a new Luke, and he actually did pretty good. But Princess Leia got 1,000 times better. She had some of the best lines, the most hilarious lines of Return of the Jedi. And so I really like what they did with her character, in that third act in The Empire Strikes Back. Because, boy, does she dig into Lando. Oh, my God, I was cracking up how she digs into Lando for double-crossing them.
Interesting.
Oh, okay. My gosh. There's also a small little comment at the very end of Return of the Jedi, and I know I'm going to butcher it, where Han, Luke, and Leia all reunite after the battle. And I think Leia says to Luke, Han needs to talk to you about how we want to make you an uncle.
Yeah.
Right? And Han is completely speechless after she says it. So it was really funny. So just like last week, if you can check it out, definitely check it out. Now, Star Wars was 13 episodes, Empire ended up being 10 episodes, and Return of Jedi ends up being 6, but they're probably about 5 minutes longer. And I'm starting to realize that if you took all the action scenes out of Return of the Jedi, there's not a whole lot going on.
Right.
And one more thing. The guy that they got to play the Emperor did an okay job. Right. But I almost have to look up when Return of the Jedi came out. Because there is a part... okay, let's fast forward a little bit. When you go to the scene where, this can be a spoiler, but... Luke is saved by, I'm totally screwing this up. All right, let's start again. So when Darth Vader and Luke are at the end of their duel,
right,
and Luke ends up taking off Vader's hand,
right,
and the Emperor's going on and on about, great, I knew that you were going to be my new right-hand man, and the Emperor goes, finish him! And it sounds exactly like Mortal Kombat. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, that was so cool. And, and this funny thing is, this probably came out before, because Mortal Kombat, I think, was early 90s.
Mortal Kombat was, that's tough. It might have been.
So, but it was still awesome, and I was smiling about it for about an hour after that. So, okay, so that ends me going on and on about the Star Wars radio drama. One more thing. Brock Peters, who's no longer with us, he was a fantastic Vader in the radio drama. I've re-listened the part where Han gets frozen, and they did such a great job with him during that whole part of the movie. So I'm going to have to listen to it again after we get off here. But anyways, so yeah, that's really all I checked out last week. Okay. Hopefully I'm going to get out the theater this weekend so I could talk about something that came out in the theater recently. So
yeah, a little brief aside,
mm-hmm.
Talking about Star Wars and voice acting. Our last Star Wars game, the one girl, Brittany, she's not a huge Star Wars person. She's seen the movies, once,
mm-hmm.
All of them. And they, in the scenario they're going, they meet up with a Toydarian. And I start doing the whole, Toydarian thing.
Watto,
and she looks
right?
at me and she goes, is he a Watto? I said, yes, exactly. He's a Watto. I said, and I feel like I'm doing a good job since you recognized it. So I was very pleased with myself to somebody who I don't really consider a hardcore nerd,
right?
Picking up on what I'm doing. And so that went very well. And that also reminded me at Dirty Nelly's game night this past Tuesday, or just yesterday, actually, there were guys off in one section. And there's a mezzanine, there's a lower level. And I look down the lower level and I go to one of the hosts. I'm like, are they role playing down there? And he's like, I don't know. And he goes over and looks, he goes, I think they are. And then I holler down, I'm like, what are you guys playing? And they holler up, Edge of the Empire. I'm like, awesome. So I went down and talked to them for a little bit. And he was just running his own little homebrew scenario. I'm like, good for you guys. So, but anyway, okay. So
yeah,
moving out of share time.
Actually, I one more thing to talk about Showtime. We were watching Empire Strikes Back because I've realized that it's been too long. I got to watch the original trilogy again. And so my son and I were watching Empire, and I wanted to get to my favorite part of the movie is when they're when they freeze Han and the whole I love you, I know kind of thing. And as I so
Right.
I'm fast forwarding through the chapters, and my son's like, "What are you doing, Dad? You're bypassing the Yoda part. I love the Yoda part." So everyone has their own favorite part of that movie, but he loves Yoda. And of course, I instructed him about, it's puppet Yoda, not CG Yoda. Because
Right.
I always, the parts on Dagobah, I always wanted them to get back to the more action-filled parts. And, not the, I kind of felt like it slowed down with the training of the Jedi kind of thing. So I just have to mention
Okay.
that. I also have to mention that we have a voicemail from Tad. So we are going to listen to the last movie that Tad had watched. So Tad, take it away.
Hey, backseat box office. This is Tad calling in with my what I've been watching this week. All right. So this last week I went and saw Pitch Perfect 2. Yes, I know it is not Mad Max. I will probably be seeing that this Friday or Saturday. I'm gonna try to get it to where I can arrange a what do you call it, matinee showing, because I don't want to pay full price, even though I am willing to pay full price to see Mad Max. But if I don't have to, I'm not going to. But anyway, Pitch Perfect 2. Not as good as the first one. I actually kind of enjoyed the first one. Pitch Perfect 2. I laughed. It was funny. I'm calling it DVD. If you're gonna watch it, if you want to see it, unless you're really into that type of movie, I'm gonna say DVD. But the wife wanted to go see it, actually, and the stepson, who is an a cappella singer, wanted to go see it. So that's why we ended up seeing it. And I enjoyed myself. It was fun. So I've got a couple other things I've been watching, but I think I'm going to save that for next week. It's a little half time. I'm taking a big camping fishing trip next week, so I'm going to be gone all week. So I'm not going to have a lot of time to, I'm not going to have any time to see a movie or anything like that next week. So I will call in next week with a good TV show that I've been watching. And thanks, guys. Keep up the good work, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
And thank you, Tad. And hopefully, we will get a report next week. And keep it up. And I guess when we hear from you, we hear from you. All right.
Yep.
So now we can end share time and let's get over to news. Art, what do you have?
I have a computer that locked because I wasn't doing anything with it. All right, so computer unlocked now. Okay, so my first piece of news. I thought this was interesting. Star Wars Rogue One writer asks Neil deGrasse Tyson for a huge favor. So we all know how he likes to pick apart the science of different movies. And so Chris Waits said, "I'm writing the Star Wars standalone and have a brief astronomy question for you, sending you this Twitter Hail Mary." So he sent out a little message saying, "Hey, I've got a question. Why don't you set me straight before I put something on the screen that you're going to hate anyway?" He has as yet received no public reply, but the news article is saying, maybe he sent him a direct message because he couldn't see why this isn't the type of thing he'd want to get in front of, being as he's kind of moved into that scientific rock star status. Why not attach yourself to what Star Wars is doing?
Yeah, and admittedly, there's not a lot of science going on in Star Wars.
No, there really isn't. But you know what? If you can get some in there, why not?
Right. Okay, my news story number one is, and we kind of talked that documentary about everything or nothing, talking about the tricky and nebulous rights for James Bond. Well,
Right.
apparently, the current deal will be up after the upcoming James Bond movie Spectre. And so it could get lost by Sony, and of course there'll be a bidding war, but a lot of people are saying that's going to end up back with Warner Brothers, because I guess that there is a close relationship between the chief and CEO of both MGM and Warner Brothers. MGM and Warner Brothers have also partnered on several films, including for the better of society, The Hobbit trilogy, and for the detriment of society, Hot Pursuit. And also the upcoming Rocky Balboa spinoff, Creed. So it might be news that might only interest me or us, but that is something to keep an eye on. And whoever ends up landing it is probably going to make a boatload of money.
Oh, for sure. Skyfall, it says here, globally $1 billion mark.
Right.
And I've you know what? The reboot had, you know, the Daniel Craig, you know, it's not really a, I guess.
You can call it a reboot.
Okay, fine. I'll call it a reboot. Mm-hmm. Have been my favorite of the Bond movies. I would watch these over any of the other ones. You know what? I own Casino Royale. I own Quantum of Solace. I don't own Skyfall yet. But those are the only Bond movies I went out of my way to buy. I don't own any of the other ones.
Yeah, I'm still partial to the Connery era.
Yeah.
Call me old fashioned. Okay,
well, you're entitled.
All right, Art, what do you got next?
Okay, well, speaking of rights and things, Marvel still sabotaging X-Men and the Fantastic Four. This story really caught my eye. There has been speculation. Well, it's not speculation. It's very much the case. There's a recent 2015 hero lineup poster, and conspicuously absent are any X-Men or Fantastic Four members. And so they're saying how Marvel is just really not pushing these characters in their advertising. You know, they're pushing the characters they have full rights to. There is a current ban on creating new characters in the X-Men comic line because, you know, immediately the rights go over to 20th Century Fox. You know, one of the quotes is from somebody, if you had two things and on one you earned 100% of the revenues from the efforts that you put into making it and the other you earned a much smaller percentage for the same amount of time and effort, you'd be more likely to concentrate more heavily on the first, wouldn't you? So they're speculating that, you know, they're hoping to continue to downplay these characters in any way they can to hopefully get the rights to come back. And I just thought that was interesting. I hadn't even realized that was the case, that they're, you know, not sabotaging, but just not playing them up.
Interesting. Interesting and not that far-fetched. All right, so let's... the rest of the news segment is pretty much going to be all Disney all the time. So let's start with a lighter story. James Gunn updates Guardians of the Galaxy 2 status. So what news do we know? We don't know anything. We don't know any details. The only detail that we know is that he's finished the screenplay. And James Gunn, as he is wont to do, posted a twit pic of the first page or the title page of Guardians of the Galaxy. And all we can see is Guardians of the Galaxy and written by James Gunn. So a lot of people are wondering, because there's been a lot of speculation about what the title's going to be. And some people are saying it's just Guardians of the Galaxy 2. But a lot of these, almost every second movie, with the exception of Iron Man 2, has had some type of subtitle, like Captain America, right. Winter Soldier, Thor, The Dark World, Avengers, Age of Ultron. So maybe there is something on the other side, but we are not going to know for a while. We will know at some point, because it comes out May 5th, 2017, so basically 2 years. But it's a little weird because we know subtitles for other movies. Like, we know that in 2019, Avengers Infinity War Part 2 has the full title.
Right.
So, I don't know. There could be smoke here. There could be fire. Who knows? All right, Art, what do you got next?
Okay. Next on my list, I got Dwayne Johnson will star in new Big Trouble in Little China remake. So I don't know how I feel about this. I
know how I feel. Boo.
I mean, part of me is like, okay, Big Trouble in Little China, it's been a while. I could see why they would want to kick it around. And part of me is like, you don't really need to redo that. That movie's such a classic. Do a re-release. Put it in theaters again. People will go see that. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. You know, and look at the performance of San Andreas. The Rock still has that pull. You know, it's like a movie I have no interest in. People are flocking to see it.
Yeah, there's no disputing that the Rock is an A-list movie star. And my only thing, or my only hope for the Jack Burton character, if they still use Jack Burton and they don't reboot it with someone else, is that can the Rock pull off an action hero that is much more proficient in his head than he actually is? Because that was the whole Jack Burton from Big Trouble in Little China.
That was.
And I don't know how, I don't know if he's done that before in a film.
Yeah, I don't know.
So there's actually, I'm going to have to dig up for next week, there's actually an interesting article on the Nerdist Network about all of the failed John Carpenter remakes. And they haven't done it.
Okay.
They haven't done one yet. And it's mainly because John Carpenter was Mr. 80s. And no one can really get the same, I guess, essence that those movies kind of had. So I'll write myself a note to remember that. All right. Okay, my next to last story has to do with Tomorrowland. Or actually another movie that is not going to happen because of Tomorrowland. Disney cancels Tron 3 following the disappointment of Tomorrowland.
Oh, no.
Okay, so they're pumping the brakes on Tron 3. And apparently it was reported that they were all, you know, full speed ahead, but that wasn't really the case, that there wasn't an official green light for it yet. They already had agreements with Olivia Wilde and Garrett Hedlund to reprise their roles, but they wanted to get Jared Leto to be in it, and that those plans kind of fell through, and then so they kind of lost their excitement, and now it's pretty much dead. Between Tomorrowland, and I'm sure there's probably still the ghost of John Carter over the studio. Here's the thing. Does Disney really have to worry about money? Not really. But do they have to worry about reputation? Because there's a lot of these. I mean, okay. What I'm trying to say is that they're cranking out sequels and reboots all kinds of stuff. Okay, so they're going to make another Pirates of the Caribbean, even though I hear that Johnny Depp got arrested by Australian police, but that's a different thing. They're going to do another Alice in Wonderland art. And okay. they're doing live-action adaptations of Jungle Book, Pete's Dragon, and Beauty of the Beast. I feel like those are more risky than doing a Tron. But I, you know, part of it is that Tron 2 didn't do that great.
Oh, really? I thought it did.
Well, it said it did eventually gross $400 million, but it cost $350 million.
Okay. Well, that's a problem.
Yeah. So I'm sad, you know, just for the small fact that we're not going to get another soundtrack, because that's one of my favorite soundtracks. And actually, I own 3 CDs of the same soundtrack, even though one's called Reconfigured, and then there was a soundtrack for the Tron animated series that was on Disney XD.
Oh, I remember that show. I was really enjoying that.
Yeah.
Isn't there also, I mean, a tangent going back to something you said earlier, isn't there also a live-action Little Mermaid in the works, too?
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, I think so. I'm almost positive somebody's working on that as well. So, yeah, they've got a lot of eggs in the live-action basket right now.
All right, Art, what do you got next?
Okay, so I will go with this one. I thought it was interesting. The Justice Department expands its investigation into AMC, Regal, and Cinemark theaters. So they are investigating them on antitrust violations, because those three theaters have worked out deals where they get some exclusive rights to movies over some of the small independent movies. So I just thought this was interesting. I never even really thought about it because those theaters are so prevalent. All of the theaters around me that I go to are those theaters. If I knew of a theater that was smaller and independent and went to it, I would be very shocked if they didn't have a new opening movie. So I don't know if this is happening more in rural areas or what, but I just find that very interesting that that's going on at all in this day and age.
I'm not surprised with all the it seems like we're finding out every 2 weeks about some, you know, scandal or something like that. I don't know if you heard about FIFA.
Yeah, I did hear about that. I actually had Brittany ask me, what's FIFA? And I'm like, I explained to her, basically it's the NFL for soccer. And she's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe I'm getting more jaded as I get older, but it seems like, you know, nothing surprises me anymore. So, yeah, you know, we do have a smaller theater. It's like an 8.
Okay.
But it seems like they have the same movies that the other guys do. So I'm almost wondering if it's like, you know, In the Shadows run by Regal or AMC or something like that.
Maybe.
All right. My last news story is from IndieWire.com. It says, report, hopes for Marvel's Netflix Phase 2 include series ideas for Punisher, Blade, Hulk, Avengers crossovers, and much more. So you don't have, it's not really news that Daredevil is doing great. And AKA Jessica Jones, should be hitting Netflix sometime this year. And we already know that Luke Cage, and Iron Fist and the Defenders are going to be, you know, within 2 years, are probably going to all hit Netflix. But what is coming after that for Netflix? Well, they're saying that there are talks right now to do a Punisher, a Blade, and a Ghost Rider. Now, I have had many conversations with a friend of mine that we don't need to see Punisher, and he's a big Punisher fan. We don't need to see any of those other guys. He wants to see Moon Knight, which he tells me was basically the Marvel carbon copy of Batman.
Yeah, only more crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So IndieWire doesn't think that we're going to see a Ghost Rider because kind of the design philosophy of Daredevil is keeping the budget down for special effects.
Right.
And they also don't think that Blade's going to happen because they kind of want to keep it, you know, to borrow a hip-hop term, they want to keep it real and not go too much into the supernatural. But if they didn't want to do that, they could also probably include a Doctor Strange, maybe. Or they're also throwing out maybe there's a Hawkeye and or Hawkeye Black Widow. So they also say a few of their ideas developing at Marshall's ABC TV branch, which is a Hulk prequel series, because they say not an insane idea because Guillermo del Toro was already developing one a few years back, but eventually left the project, and a possible series for Cloak and Dagger and Miss Marvel. They say actually different from the one coming to the big screen in the summer of 2018. With ABC insisting on getting their words in, it appears that there may be too many cooks in the kitchens for everyone's tastes. A recent new rumor suggests John Ridley's so far unknown ABC Marvel project is the aforementioned Miss Marvel, but apparently the character Kamala Khan, not the Carol Danvers Captain Marvel version.
Interesting.
So it seems like there is a lot of stuff in play for what Marvel wants to do.
Yeah, well, they're the big boys on the block.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised to see more Inhumans outside of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right. Okay. Well, following up on that, Captain Marvel could pair Charlize Theron with Angelina Jolie. So, there have been rumors of getting Charlize Theron to be Carol Danvers in Captain Marvel. The newest rumor is that they're trying to get Angelina Jolie to direct. And they talk about that the two are kind of fast friends in Hollywood. So if they lock in Charlize Theron, they feel like they would have a much easier time getting Angelina Jolie to come along right behind. And they're thinking that this would be a good choice. because Jolie has shown an inclination towards telling big screen stories of real life drama and struggles of the human spirit, and it wouldn't be at all impossible to hit on those themes in a comic book movie. So, I just thought that was interesting.
I don't know. I kind of find that hard to believe that Angelina Jolie would be interested in doing a superhero movie.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Not just a superhero movie. It'd be like the first woman starring, woman leading, very, pro-woman, feminist, mm-hmm. Because DC has been dragging its heels working on this Wonder Woman movie mm-hmm. forever and a day. And so they've missed an opportunity, and I think it's a great opportunity to jump in there and be like, here, something for, their side. Because everything's been pretty boy-centric, boy-heavy. So let's see the other side of the coin. Let's see somebody do it right. I think it has possibilities, and I can't wait to see what they do with it, no matter who they get.
Right, right.
I mean, I definitely like some of the other names better, as far as for Captain Marvel, Emily Blunt, Jessica Chastain, and then the other one they mentioned, Catherine Winnick.
I'm not familiar with hers.
Me neither. That's why I'm going to open that in a new tab right quick and see who she is.
The more I watch season two of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the more I lament that we didn't get a Adrian Palicki Wonder Woman.
Oh, she's from Vikings.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that's why neither of us recognize her. There you go. And that's all I got.
All right. So let's wrap up news and also wrap up the show. So thank you for listening to us talking about movies and stuff. We're not going to get into that again. So thank you for everyone for listening. And take care. Go see a movie. And we will catch you next time. Art, say goodbye.
Goodbye, stuff.